Welcome back to the MC Nerd Jack Show with your host, GameCube Dad Dude.
What up, though? We are back with another one. Just wanted to let you guys know that we have part two with Valid. Man, I wanted to give you guys a little bit more. Got about like a 30 to 40 minute episode here. The second half of our sit down with Valid. Had some sickness in the house, man, so I really couldn't get to it the way I wanted to. But I did want to jump on here and say I appreciate you guys. I got a lot of love from the part one. So here is part two. Also, it is Dilla Day, so happy birthday to Jay Dilla. I actually threw on at the end of my sit down with Valid. Valid was a special guest last year for our Dilla tribute. Actually, when we come back, I'm gonna do a little something, for Dilla as well. So, you know, you'll hear that when I come back. Try to get to you guys like in the next couple weeks. Of course, we got Super Bowl. That new Marvel Spider-Man has actually been kind of dope. The Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. And then also we got a Fantastic Four trailer to just drop. And then all this craziness that's been happening in the NBA with all these trades, man. We'll catch up on all that, plus All-Star Weekend. Maybe I'll try to drop this like right before All-Star Weekend. So, once again, happy birthday, Jay Dilla. K-Dot, I see you with them Grammys. And this is the part two sit down with Valid. Appreciate y'all. Wait, hold up. I almost forgot. If you're in Detroit this Saturday, February 8th, then you got to go to the Old Miami in Detroit, downtown Detroit, Cash Corridor, because it's the 8th annual Valentine's Day. Yes, sir. Big Valid, who we're interviewing here, with Bruiser Wolf, Mary McLovin, Mr. Cliff Note, Saturday, February 8th, hosted by Ellie, DJ Head, and DJ Mac. We got Crown Royal, Modella, Hennessy, all the sponsors. Starts at 9 p.m. You're in Detroit, Super Bowl weekend, you already know where you need to be. And that's Old Miami for the 8th annual Valentine's Day. Let's get into the episode. I know I'm bouncing around a little bit with the albums and stuff, but did you put out Plum Brandy before Mihalo?
No. Mihalo came out in 2019. Plum Brandy came out in 2020, right before the pandemic.
That's what I thought. I just double checked my notes here. So, you know, as you're coming up, you definitely put out some projects before you got to Mihalo. But did you feel like there was kind of a change as far as your, I'll say, listening to the music? It felt like you really kind of, you know, got in your bag, or like felt comfortable, like in your own skin, and like your identity as a rapper, and like what you wanted to sound like. Like that, it really felt like that all kind of came together with Mihalo.
100%. With Mihalo, was like, I'll use a basketball analogy. Like, you see a young player in the league for a few seasons, and they're good, and they're decent, and they got potential. And let me put this on vibrate. I'm sorry. And you see it, you know, but then, like, Nikola Jokic style, been in the league for 4 or 5 years, something changes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they have this breakout season. Mm-hmm. Mihalo was that for me. I think I know that I proved a lot of naysayers wrong with that project, because they told me to my face. They weren't being disrespectful, but and they didn't mean it like in a backhanded compliment, but a lot of them were like, I didn't even think you could do something like this, bro. Literally, like, I didn't think you were good enough to rap this good or pull some shit like this out. Like,
yeah.
And so that might all forever be my own favorite solo project. Mm-hmm. Even if I end up making something better, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What that one meant to me, mm-hmm. Personally, in the level of musicality on it, there's a lot of live instruments. There's a lot of thought and concentration went into that project. My man Tone Rizzo, who's down the hallway, worked heavy on that project for a long time. And you got 11 songs of my heart and soul, and a dude saying, I'm making this album for me. And not only am I making this album for me, I'm going to push myself to rap as best as I fucking possibly can. And that shit was dope. And without that, you know what I'm saying, there's no Bill and Isaiah, there's no Plum Brandy. And I just remember what I was going through in that time in my life on a personal level when recording that album. And I'm very proud of the version of myself from 2018. Mm-hmm. I started working on that album, I think, sometime in 2017. Worked on it all throughout, like, damn near 2018. Mm-hmm. And it dropped in April of 2019. So I know what Mihailo, no pun intended, because that's the name of the album, that's my real name, was going through in his life in 2016, 17, and 18. And I put it all in that project. And it was different. It was a different dude than what you heard on, like, me and Slade's project and any of the mixtapes and joints that I did before that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You can feel that energy in the album as well. I wanted to ask you, because I know we both share one of our favorite MCs is Elzai.
Yeah.
So definitely want to give him his flowers.
Shout out to Elzai, man. One of the GOATs, one of the greatest to ever rap.
What was it like, you know, working with one of your favorite artists?
Oh, man, that was, people know. Like, if you know me, you're a good friend of mine. Like, you know I hold Elzai high up. Like, I hold him high up, like how I hold up, like, Slick Rick. Like, I don't mean like Elzai, like I hold him high up in underground, like Detroit rap or underground, like boom. No. All artists of all time, excluding nobody.
Yeah.
I hold Elzai up there with for my personal favorite hip hop artist to listen to. Mm-hmm. Slick Rick, Elzai, Common, 50, Snoop, M. Like, these are my go to's. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And there's quite a few other names on that list, but Elzai is on that list. And he is a super cool dude, super chill guy. And it was one of those things, again, where it was like, hey, man, I need him to be proud of this, you know? So, like, I rewrote my verse a couple times before I even sent it to him. And everything, and he reached back, and he's like, yo, I'm digging this concept, because there's a concept to the record. Again, like, I told him, like, dog, I don't want just, like, a dope-ass 16. Like, this album ain't really on that. You know what I mean? Like, this ain't just bars and beats, Griselda style. You know what I'm saying? And that's not, like, a put-down of Griselda at all. It was, like, this is a personal album. There's concepts to these songs, and I need you to kind of stay within the concept. And he did. And he did it like an expert that he is. You know what I'm saying? He's
a technician.
Technician, and he's perfect. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody's perfect, but Elzai is as close to perfect as I think a MC can get.
Yeah.
And so it's cool, man. I just remember him, like, calling me after the fact. And we chopped it up on the phone for, like, about an hour, hour and a half. Just, you know, that was cool. The first time I met him was super cool, because I didn't know he knew who I was. Mm. And he was here in Detroit, because he don't normally stay out here.
Yeah.
And there was an event happening at the Skip downtown. Mm-hmm. And I'm there, and I heard, like, Elzai's performing there and whatnot. I'm chilling with a lady and shit like that, and all of a sudden I feel somebody tap me on my shoulder, like, yo, what up though, man? And I turn around, it was one of my fucking favorite rappers, Elzai. I was like, oh shit, what up? And he came to say what's up to me, so he knew me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't even know he really knew who I was at the time. So we had a conversation that night, and I told him, man, I'm working on this project. I got this joint. And it was funny because I remember telling Tone, I'm like, I'm going to get a feature on this joint. I don't know who yet, but I would love it for it to be Elzai. And Elzai all of a sudden, within a couple weeks, sees me, says what's up to me. It was like the universe just kind of lined it up. And
spoken into existence, man.
Damn near, man. Shout out to my guy, Al.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah.
Sure. And then you had Jessica Caremore in there as well.
Shout out to Jessica. That's been my girl for years.
Yeah, that was I really like that song.
Thank you.
You had a line on there where you say, my engineer knows me best. I wanted to ask you, like, why does music, because I share that kind of similarly too. Like, my wife always tells me, like, I'm a much better communicator in music than I am face to face. Why do you think, like, music allows, you know, artists to kind of open up?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know, game. I think that's the beauty and the mystery of art.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Humans take what they go through in their everyday lives, good or bad, and they put it in art in some way, whether you draw pictures, whether you're a painter, whether you make music, whether you make movies, you know what I mean? And I don't know. I think because when you're writing lyrics, maybe there's nobody to interrupt you. And I think sometimes when we write lyrics, it's just us in our own world.
Yeah.
Like, we never think of it as, I mean, we do think of it that, like, okay, we're going to put this out for anybody in the world, they can hear, especially now,
yeah,
where Spotify, whatever, anybody in the world that has Wi-Fi can hear my thoughts.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. But I think it comes from growing up, we related. Like, our favorite songs are the ones that damn near want to make you cry or whatever.
Yeah.
So we want to, if we're going to create music and art, we want to put that same passion, mm-hmm, and that same relatability and that same emotion into it. And I think it's just easier to do it through a craft,
yeah,
than through a serious conversation.
For sure. For sure. I like that. Another track on there that kind of stood out to me was Scarf On.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you kind of flipped that LL Cool J record. And also, I don't know if you, so that sample, who produced that?
My man's Big Tone, baby.
Okay, okay.
Legendary.
I knew that sample from a Wiz Khalifa song.
Mm. I didn't know that.
He has a track called When You Find. It so it has that same sample. Actually, I should play it. I don't think it's gonna come through to hear.
Do I put it on the headphones to hear it?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, let me hear this.
Should come.
No. Nothing's coming through that. Not my voice or. Take your time.
I don't hear it, so I'm good.
Yo, yo, now I hear, yep. Now I hear myself and
DJ awesome.
Yep.
Oxygen, without you I won't breathe. You're everything I want, need. For you, I wear my heart on a short sleeve. I know some things need change.
I never heard this.
That takes time, I need more, please.
Could
say
one,
I ain't
was...
the way thing okay. I could have done.
But like I don't think he was on, like, actually. I mean, you know, I was a blogger. A lot of Lucy's was good, but that's one of my favorite samples of all time.
It's dope.
And when I was listening to Kylo, I'm like, oh, man, you got the same.
Big Tone, baby. Big Tone is that guy. DMX lyrics. Okay. It was. DMX, baby.
5'11 with curls.
Yeah.
yeah. So, you just came back at the end of last year. You had the European tour.
Yeah.
With DJ Head.
Yeah.
Man, what was that? Was that your first time like going overseas to perform?
First time touring, yeah. The first time I went was in August, just a couple months before. We headlined Preach the Reach Hip Hop Festival in Croatia, and that was one of the most beautiful experiences of my life. And we headlined night one, and the headliners of night two were Arrested Development. So that was super dope because I listened to Arrested Development growing up. I got nothing but love and respect for them. I think they're really dope, and I think they're underrated.
Oh yeah!
And shout out to Speech of Arrested Development, and that was super dope. So that was the first time, and that was only one night we rocked. Gotcha. But then this time we went throughout the whole region. We were in, you know, pretty much all of former ex Yugoslavia and Bulgaria as well. So technically we were in 5 different countries, 9 shows. We were out for 3 weeks, and that shit wasn't no joke. It was grueling. It was hard. It was tough. But it was one of the most beautiful, coolest, fulfilling experiences that I ever had in my life.
Yeah.
And some of the coolest, most emotional shit happened on that tour for me.
Yeah. Do you have, so that same area, is that where your family kind of originates from?
Yeah, ex-Yugoslavia. So my parents are Serbian.
So do
from
you have,
ex-Yugoslavia.
Do you have family
that I do.
Still lives up?
I have
are
relatives.
They able to come
kind of you know what? No, they lived in a couple different parts. And when I was supposed to go, the one day I was supposed to go see my relatives that I had available on the schedule, I wanted to go see. They weren't available that day. So I didn't really get to chop it up with any of my relatives over there, unfortunately. But I did get to speak with them. They were very excited I was in the region. They were also very disappointed. Like, it wasn't that type of trip. Like, we were in a different town every day.
Yeah.
And it was go, go, go. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of, you know, DJ Head, I've heard you mention him quite a few times. I already know, like I said, because I've been kind of researching you, so I already know how that relationship started. But if you don't mind kind of explaining here kind of how that relationship started.
Yeah, I used to go, as I mentioned earlier, to a place called 5E Gallery, where I would just kind of cut my teeth as a MC. I was young, and that's what I was doing, going to the open mics. You know, I was passionate about rhyming, and so I'll go to 5E Gallery, and I'm ciphering outside, and I didn't know what DJ Head looked like. I knew there was a cat named DJ Head from Detroit that produced Without Me and Renegade and Purple Pills and I'll Shit on You and stuff like that by D12. But I never really knew what he looked like and whatnot. So standing outside, this is around probably 2010, 2011, maybe 2010. And I'm rhyming. And this one cat walks out. He sees like 4 or 5 MCs. He's like, man, you kind of got something about you. You know what I'm saying? And mind you, I was really rough around the edges at the time. You know, I was probably whack as fuck. But But out of the MCs he saw, there was something about this dude with fucking long hair. And he was like, man, it's something about you, bro. We gonna get you right because you there's something there. Like, you killing him. And and then he tells me, you know, people, I hear this guy telling me, like, they're calling him DJ Head. And I'm like, man, that can't be the same DJ Head from Detroit that I've heard about.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. You know what I'm saying? It was definitely the Grammy Award-winning fucking diamond-selling DJ Head. You know what I'm saying? And we traded information. We got close over the years. And he eventually became, like, my executive producer, you know what I'm saying? Like, my Dr. Dre and my tour DJ. And it's been nothing but a beautiful brotherhood or mentorship, you know, because he's been all over the world. He's been on Saturday Night Live. He's been on, you know, spinning at the MTV. Like, he's seen the industry from top to bottom, from the hip-hop shop to, you know what I'm saying? And, he's just like a never-ending fountain of knowledge and experience. And not just Eminem, but being that close with Dilla and Proof and Dre, you know, spending the hours he spent with Dr. Dre in the studio, you know, mixing and mastering at that time.
Yeah.
So it's just I'm genuinely blessed that the universe lined me and him up because you know, the Mihailo album, like you mentioned, he was behind a lot of that. He didn't make any of the beats, but woo, he made a lot of the decisions about that album.
Yeah.
Yo, we're taking open drums out. We're bringing in a live drummer that's going to take this shit over the top. Things like that. Something's clashing in his beat. Something about your flow and your pattern and the drums is fucking clashing here. We need to change something. A lot of that happened.
Yeah. That's important.
And so shout out to my guy, DJ Head.
I remember being at your block party that you had last year, which I don't know if we've – I think it's the first time we're speaking since then. But congratulations on that again. Thank you. I told this audience that was – it was one of the best hip-hop shows that I've ever been to just because it was – it just felt like a real community, you know what I mean? And it was – like the weather was perfect.
Thank you.
Everything about it was great.
Man, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was I'll slightly disagree with you. It was hot as fuck.
Well, yeah, you're right.
But it was in August. It was an outdoor event in August, so it was supposed to be hot as hell, but it was, like, extra hot. Like, it was.
You're right.
It was, like,
I got there
hot
after
August, but it was like, whoa, this is hot. Even for August, it's hot. It's extra hot. What the fuck?
I forgot
we were
about
burning
that
out there, and we were sweating. So, but it was that's one of the best memories of my life was that day. That was one of the highlights of my musical journey. You know what I'm saying? Was that block party. Just the sponsors were super cool.
Yeah.
The sponsors were cool. The fact that we were able to do it for free and I was still able to pay my peoples that performed, you know, and pay myself. And but it was still, as you said, like a free community event. Like, the hip-hop community came out.
Sure.
They showed up, and they had a blast. You know what I'm saying? And,
yeah, definitely.
It was something. It was something dope as fuck.
Yeah. I was going to say, so I remember just when you were rocking, and then when Tresh came up there, too, I just remember DJ Head kind of being in the back. And you could see this big smile, like, on his face. Like, I could tell now, like, knowing a little bit more of your relationship, you could definitely tell, you know, that he was proud of
it. He's one of my biggest believers. He's one of my biggest supporters is DJ Head. And he put, you know, he don't just say it, he proves it through his actions.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's always there for me. And that means a lot to me. And yeah, I know, like, we were all geeked up that night. It felt like we won the championship. Like, because we were worried, like, man, what if, like, nobody comes? There's this big-ass empty field. No, people came.
Yeah.
The performances were great. The energy was great.
Yeah.
People just had a good time, and it was a stellar lineup. You know, world famous, world renowned, Shigeto, you know, Guilty Simpson. It was just
Renegade.
A Sock of the Renegade, my dog. And then me. Big Valid. You know what I'm saying? And Idea was on the bill. It was just, I don't know. It was something that I don't, like, it's funny, my name is Valid, and it's just like, can't nobody validate me. You know what I'm saying? The city validates me. The love that I get from the city validates me, and it keeps me going. You know what I mean?
Just quickly, because I know we got to
wrap up here soon.
Right.
The relationship with Stretch Money.
And obviously Bill and Isaiah. I've heard you kind of speak on this before, and again, shout out to Cadell, because I agree with him on that album. Felt like it was the start of kind of bridging that gap between the different sides of Detroit hip hop, which I'd love to see it, you know, kind of continue with other artists as well. How did that come together, the Bill and Isaiah project?
That was Stretch's idea. When COVID happened, I started working on a refill of the Plum Brandy EP in 2020. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how long the pandemic was going to last, the lockdowns, all that shit. And I was like, we're going to do a refill version, a couple extra songs, mm-hmm. and remixes and like different versions of the original Plum Brandy EP. And I was like, it first started, me and Stretch didn't see each other for years. And he had a video shoot on the east side. This is like 2019, like right while like Mihailo was as hot as it was. Mm-hmm. And we didn't speak for years. Not that like, you know, we weren't that tight for, you know, whatever. And he had to go, you know, he did some time and shit like that. And yeah. So we didn't see each other for a long time. And he put a post up saying he was going to be shooting a video on the east side at Coney Island. And we're all invited. Pull up at this time. I was like, I'm going to go surprise my mans. And I got there late. The shoot was already done. So I get out of the truck, my truck, and I'm walking in. All of a sudden, he jumps out of his car. He goes, is that cool motherfucker, Valid? And I look, and I'm like, oh, shit. He was genuinely happy to see me. We chopped it up. We spoke for a while. Caught up, and I remember giving him a gift. He gave him a copy of Mihailo on vinyl and all that. You know what I'm saying? It was cool. And we chopped it up. We exchanged the phone numbers again, and it was dope. And then he hits me a little bit later, like, hey, dog, I'm working on this joint. He goes, I want to work with people who genuinely fuck with me. I was like, okay. He goes, I just flew through your whole album. The shit is sweet. I want you on this joint. I think you sound good. And we did a record called So Appealing. Mm-hmm. One of the dopest verses I ever recorded in my life is on a Stretch Money Bandcamp. On one of his Bandcamp exclusive projects.
Yeah.
And it's dope as fuck. And we loved it. And then I was like, yo, dog, I need a verse from you. I'm doing a refill remix version of this song that I got for the Plum Brandy. And he came. And we both were on the same shit. We wanted to do this like 80s cocaine cowboy, 80s fly shit project.
Yeah.
He said, why don't we both just do it together? Mm. He goes, we should knock this out. And we wanted to do like a Miami Vice themed thing. And that's the birth of Bill and Isaiah. And I was like, well, so I told him, I go, I kind of know somebody that already did. Shout out to my man, Leif Erickson. A Miami Vice themed Detroit project is just, I don't feel right doing it in my soul. I want to do that style of music, but I don't want the theme to be Miami Vice. But I'm thinking, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden it hit me in my head. I'm like, yo, 80s Detroit shit. Tall white guy, short black dude, Bill Ambeer, Isaiah Thomas, Bad Boys. I go, that fits us, bro. I go, the whole vibe of that team, the whole lore of the 89-90 Bad Boy squad. I go, that's us to the infinite, bro. Like, we really are these motherfuckers damn near. And that was it. And he fell in love with that concept. And I was like, and it's Detroit as fuck. Yeah. And it's us. And there's nobody else that can be Bill and Isaiah.
No.
Visually.
Yep.
Conceptually, mm-hmm. And it just fits perfect. And that's it, dog. Bill and Isaiah was born like that. That's how that came about.
Yeah, it was definitely a breath of fresh air. Because I started this podcast, I think right around the time you guys dropped it. And it was like, I was like, dang. It kind of felt like it was perfect. Because it was like, that's the music that I love. And, you know, I was looking for. And it just gave me a lot of stuff to kind of talk about and bring to people and make sure, like, hey, you got to check out this Bill and Isaiah. Because I steal this from Nori. I've heard him say this a lot. It felt like 1990 now. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting the flavor of the 80s, but it was, if you know, it fit right into 2000.
That's the most important thing about hip-hop. I feel... And I might get some heat for saying this. I feel like a lot of the boom bap artists mm-hmm. in hip hop right now, they think making boom bap or making real hip hop means making shit that sounds like it was made in 95 or 91 yeah. or 94 or whatever. No.
No.
That means you're making dated music.
Yep.
Your shit's outdated.
Mm-hmm.
What does boom bap sound like now?
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't sound like what Primo did in 94. It shouldn't sound like what Pete Rock did in 94. Mm-hmm. They don't even sound like they sounded in 94 because they evolved.
Yep.
So it's very important to have the energy mm-hmm. and the spirit of the past, mm-hmm. but sound new. And fresh to the ear. Whoa, I've never heard no shit that sounds like this. Mm-hmm. That's what you always want, yo.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm always kind of struggling to do. And I'm not saying that I'm always gonna do that or be successful at that. But Kendrick Lamar is boom bap to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Kendrick Lamar is soul hip hop to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's current and it's fresh. And it has fresh ingredients
mm-hmm.
while still holding on to the roots and the traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he can be popular with a mainstream crowd
yep.
and make us hip-hop traditionalists happy at the same time.
Definitely.
And that's why he's going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Biggie's going to live forever. Biggie, his music was traditional, but it didn't sound... like Run DMC in 1987, it sounded yeah. like where hip hop was in 94.
Yep.
Outkast was new, it was fresh, but it appeased the purist.
Mm-hmm.
When you only sound current and you don't appease,
you come and go.
You know, usually that's what happens.
Yep.
Lil Wayne, he's gonna live forever because yep. his shit slapped. And even if you like Big Daddy Kane and Rakim or whatever, you know when you heard them Carter mixtapes, like, okay, this is a breath of fresh air. This is yep. adding to hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
It's not destroying what was already there. It's adding to it.
Yes.
And you do that by not doing what's already been done.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no reason to make music that's already been made.
Facts.
You know?
Facts. So, before we get out of here, I want to talk about... Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Where's my flyers at, dog? Hold on. We're going to show the... I don't even know if this is going to be out by the time the event happens.
It will. I'll make sure.
On Saturday, February 8th at Old Miami, will be the 8th annual Valentine's Day showcase. If y'all know anything about my events, they slap. This year, we got Bruiser Brigade's own Bruiser Wolf on the bill. Yep, yep. We got my dog, who I mentioned in this interview, Mr. Cliff Note, dope yep. MC, is going to be rocking. Mary McLovin, this chick from Fort Wayne, Indiana, is so dope.
Yeah.
I swear to God, she like is one of the dopest voices when I hear her sing. Go follow her on Instagram, Mary McLovin, and just watch her, you know, do her acoustic thing and do her thing with her band. She can blow. Like, she can sing. So yeah. I'm excited for my Detroit family to see what this girl can do. And then you got myself, rocking. Me and DJ Head, we're going to be rocking. This is my first show in Detroit since being off tour.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. We do this every year. Shout out to Old Miami. And shout out to the sponsors for making it possible. Shout Crown out. Royal, Modelo, and Hennessy. Thank you for sponsoring Valentine's Day 8. It's 8 on the 8th. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And for my Danny Brown fans, for my Bruiser Brigade fans, Bruiser Wolf is in the building.
He's on a run.
Oh, he's on a run. He's on one run of the right dopest now. In the game. And we're going to have a ball.
Definitely. No.
Appreciate you. Oh, absolutely, brother, man. I appreciate you. It was a good talk.
Let me, jack the spot real quick and do this with you.
It's all good. Shout out to Soundsmith Studios. It's like the second or third interview I've done in Soundsmith Studios.
Definitely.
So shout out to Soundsmith. Shout out to my guy, Tone Rizzo. For those that don't know, Tone Rizzo is a Grammy award-winning certified engineer. Super, super dope with it. So come down to Soundsmith Studios, located in Lincoln Park, Michigan. That sound going to be crispy, be my baby. It's going to be crispy. It's going to be fresh. It's going to slap. It's going to bang. And he knows how to make shit happen with quickness. And you're working with the best when you at Soundsmith Studios. Gia.
And it's like that.
Yeah. Peace.
A couple questions about one of my favorite hip-hop artists ever, right? Jay Dilla. Shout out to the homie GameCube, that dude, for asking me to do this. But he asked me when I first heard about Dilla. It had to be towards like the end of his life. Now that's not the first time I heard his music, because I was a hip-hop head, but I wasn't like that deep into it, but I wasn't at the same time. And so like obviously I heard the Busta Rhymes songs that were produced by Dilla, but I didn't know who Dilla was or whatever. I wasn't looking for who the producers were and shit like that at the time, until I got a little bit older and I learned about Dilla more towards the end of his life, when I found out who produced The Light. And I remember hearing on the radio, like, when they played Common the Light, they're like, yo, this is produced by Detroit's own Jay Dilla, XYZ. And then I started learning about Dilla, Slum Village, and things of that nature. So those were my younger days. And the second question is, what's my favorite Dilla track? Hands down. And I've damn near listened. I ain't going to say I've heard everything, but I've probably the majority of Dilla music that is to the public's accessibility, I've probably heard it more than once. And I think I have to say my favorite Dilla joint, Dilla produced joint or whatever, is Nah Champa on Like Water for Chocolate by Common. That's probably my favorite beat, my favorite hip-hop instrumental of all time is Nah Champa by Common, produced by JD. It's your man's ballad, baby.
This episode of the MC Nerd Jock Show is brought to you by Friendly Neighborhood DJ, servicing all of Southeast Michigan. Now, we know you can have anybody DJ your wedding, your birthday party, your school dance, family reunion, whatever the special event is. But let me tell you, it's more fun when you have somebody from the neighborhood.
This episode of the MC Nerd Jock Show was brought to you by the United Negro Podcasting Guild of America, where we be podcasting. This episode was recorded at an undisclosed location in Grosse Pointe Woods, Michigan. Edited in an undisclosed studio in New Baltimore, Michigan. All episodes of the MC Nerd Jock Show are brought to you by GC Productions. You already know. The intro and outro of the MC Nerd Jock Show are produced by none other than the legendary producer, Slumber Logic.